Oh yes! We made it, buddy! Come on down, man!
Alright!
We practice because you're tall, Vlad Levitt.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Is it good?
Vlad Levitt, yeah.
So how you say that, you're in your Levitt?
Levitt, yeah.
Levitt.
Yeah.
It's Vlad Levitt, I saw you for a long time. But you're not the guy who talk a lot in an open mic or a show, huh?
Yeah,
you're a low profile guy.
Yeah, I don't talk much.
Is it true?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I know you by heart, like I know you, but I don't know you.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you work hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first time I think I heard your voice outside of
stage.
Yeah.
And it's a different voice on stage always.
So do you know why? Do you know why you're low profile for a hyper job?
I mean, I think it was, I don't want to get too deep too quickly, but I think it's because when I came to Canada, I became a bit of an introvert because I left all my family and everyone.
Okay.
And so I kind of compensated with stand-up. I started doing stand-up to...
So where are you from?
Ukraine.
Ukraine?
Yeah, I came here when I was 10.
Okay, so you know the difference. You saw did you arrive in the winter?
No, thank God.
Hey, welcome to No BS with SB, man.
Thanks.
So, this is fun what you said. To come because you missed something so hard in Ukraine.
Yeah.
You said you decided to do comedy.
Yeah, well, it's not that. I think I was like an extrovert when I was in Ukraine. And then because I left all my family and friends, I didn't speak English, I didn't speak French. So it kind of became low key, a little bit of an introvert.
You have to restart everything?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you enjoy this trip? Like at 10 years old, when your parents said we moved to Canada, how did you respond?
Well, they just sent me.
They sent you?
I was just shipped here, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow, why did they that?
For a better life.
Okay, for a better life. Okay, because they don't like you.
Yeah,
maybe they said that, they pretend that.
Maybe a combination of both, you know.
Maybe you're a bad kid, you know.
Yeah,
do you have a brother and sister?
I was the only one. Well, I had another one since I left, so maybe you're like, we'll make a better one. Maybe they just.
But where's the other one?
He lives in Ukraine.
And the other one?
There's another one. There's two. There's me that left, and then when I left, my mom had another kid.
Okay, how old he is now?
10 or 11.
It's time for to receive him.
Yeah, maybe not.
You will stay there?
No, I think I think there's a better way to come to Canada, you know. When you're 18, you go to university, you already kind of learned the language first. That was just like last minute shipped here, and I don't think it's...
No, man, I want to understand. This is rare we heard that. Your parents, when you have 10 years old, decide to ship you here.
Yeah.
By eBay or UPS?
Didn't exist yet then. My grandma lived here, so they just like sent me here.
So how they said that to you, you know, before they send you?
Man, they're like, you know, there are squirrels there, you'll have TV, you know. I was like, right on. And I just...
What is the real reason?
It's better life. Things were rough back then. It's still a little rough now.
Yeah, but you don't think it's... worst when you don't have your parents with you at 10 years old?
Yeah, it was a tough decision, I'm sure. But it was they thought, you know, I'll have a better life. And it's true. Like, if I was living in Ukraine, I would be probably like cutting metal there or like working at some shipyard, who knows. But, you know, here I'm already kind of developing something.
Yeah, but so why the new kids, at 10 years old, stay there?
Well, because I kind of know.
Is it better there now?
No, I feel like I know the process now, and I know that, for example, if he learns English now, he can go to like a university program here, like exchange student. It's going to be a way easier transition than just to do what I did. There are better options. I feel like it's better
because
for
of internet and now that everything changed.
It's
the world is smaller than before.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a better way to do it.
Okay, so you arrive at 10 years old.
Yeah.
How did you respond when this situation arrived? Did you are you happy?
Well, first, you kind of, you know, you're a kid, you get used to everything. So you kind of, you see the positive in things, and then later on you go, you know, I don't have
squirrel, you got me at squirrel.
Yeah, I still get excited when I see squirrels, man. It's been like 18 years, but...
Yeah, exactly my point. When you saw squirrel now at your age, do you have a feeling?
Man, I've had, like, actual meetings that I've been late to. Because there was like a squirrel outside my window and I was just checking it out. I don't give a shit. Part of it is not giving a shit, but I still get excited.
No, because it's something. Listen, 10 years old, we are a sponge. You know, the brain is a sponge.
Yeah.
And if they try to convince you, like, you're going to see squirrel, okay, trust me. You eat peanut butter every night, every morning, eh? With the squirrel? No?
Yeah, I just built my whole life around squirrels.
Exactly. Yeah. No, because you, it's the only thing you have now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have other things.
Exactly. But when you arrive, do you talk about that in your comedy?
I just started recently. For some reason, when I started doing comedy, well, first of all, I started off doing like the worst thing that all the most like open micers do, you know, just talking about your dick and like, you know, those like jerking off, like all that material that's like, you know, cliche hacky. And then when I started doing clean material that I was more proud of, then I started thinking, well, I don't want to talk about just being Ukrainian because it's kind of easy, you know, it's easy to do that material. And it's only at 10 recently that I started thinking, well, that's who I am. It's a big part of myself.
Exactly.
So I do have to address it.
Yeah, but it's tough to talk about ourselves.
Yeah.
On stage. Yeah. It's personal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I didn't want to be like, you know, like the Yakov Smirnov of comedy. I don't know if you know who that is.
No.
Just like, you know, like the stereotype of like, what does he say as a classic? Like, I'm blanking out. But it's just like a hacky.
What is the name of the comedian you said?
Yakov Smirnov.
Yakov Smirnov.
Yeah, he left the Soviet Union.
Okay.
And he came to do stand up in America.
Okay.
And all his bits were like, oh, what a country. Yeah, that's what he would say. Like,
The cliche, like.
Yeah, so I don't want to be like, well, in Ukraine it's like this, and then in Canada it's like this, and just reduce it to that.
And it's not you.
Yeah.
Because you're more Canadian than Ukrainian.
Yeah. When I realized that when I came back for the first time this summer to Ukraine, I was like, I'm more like a Canadian in Ukraine.
It's not you there.
No.
But did you learn Ukraine? Did you talk?
Yeah, I speak Ukrainian.
Because 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, I still remember. Yeah, and my grandma is here, and she barely speaks.
So you arrived at 10 years old.
Yeah.
At your grandmother.
Yeah.
Where you live in Montreal at the time? Remember where it was?
I remember Rosemont.
Rosemont.
Yeah.
On Masson. The street Masson
around
was the
P9, around that area.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's, okay. No English, no French.
Yeah.
So what's happened? Did they push you into school right away?
Yeah. Well, there was a class for like all the new students. So it was like with all the students that don't speak English or French.
Oh, okay. You were not with Francophone or Anglophone.
Well, when I don't know if it's still the case, but at the time, if you come from another country, like the classe d'accueil, I don't know how you say it in English, when you welcome, you know, the students, like the first school you go to learn English or French, if you come to Quebec, you can only learn French. So we didn't have English classes, so I learned English.
So you speak French?
Yeah, I went to a French high school.
Vas-y donc.
Oui, je parle français.
Ben voyons donc. Tu parles en français?
Ben oui.
J'en reviens pas, si.
Ben
really?
Oui.
You speak...
J'ai fait tout mon secondaire en français.
I'm flabbergasted, buddy. Why you never talk to me in French, tabarnak?
You always speak to me in English, I don't know.
You never went to see me say, how are you, buddy, and always speak to me in French.
Yeah, well, I thought you were practicing your English, too. You didn't want to...
You speak well. You have a beautiful... tu parles bien en français. You know what I mean? You learn well. And this is the problem about French-Canadian. We are so not brainwashed, but blind.
Yeah.
About the about all the cultural. They don't speak French. They don't. They just speak in English.
Yeah.
This is not true.
Yeah.
And you speak better than us.
I don't know if I speak better than you.
I speak joual. You know.
Yeah.
I speak like you. On va tu déhanner?
Ouais.
Veux-tu du craton? On mange du craton, man? You know what I mean?
Mais c'est le dialecte québécois.
Oui, c'est exactement. Mais toi aussi. Mais tu le parles bien, tu vois. Do you use French a lot in your life now?
Around my coworkers, and mainly when I'm around the city, I speak French. Like if I go to a restaurant.
I like bonjour, hi. What do you say?
Bonjour.
So you speak Ukraine, French, and English?
And German.
And German?
Yeah, a little bit.
Why?
Just decided to learn it for fun. That's my thing. Because once I started like speaking a bunch of languages,
just for fun.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Well, it's not fun for everyone.
Just for fun, I decided to learn German.
Yeah.
It's weird. Think about. You should start. You should write joke about that.
Yeah.
Because it's funny to say that.
Yeah.
For fun, you decide to collect rock.
Yeah.
For fun.
Yeah.
Not learn German. You know what I mean?
No, I see where you're going. Yeah. But it becomes fun because you start being interested in like the structure, like how do these people work? Why do they speak the way they speak?
Yeah. Kind of no,
like
you're right.
I, like it's like a puzzle, like figuring yeah. out. Like,
can you say the one phrase or two phrases in German?
Ich spreche nur ein bisschen Deutsch, also ich nehme sehr gut.
So you said. Je parle pas vraiment bien l'allemand,
ouais,
un petit peu.
Un peu ouais.
You know, I said that because yeah. of your
yeah,
language
yeah.
body, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you speak so...
I don't speak... I understand quite a bit, but to speak, like, I said everything wrong and then...
No, mate, I'm sure if you go there, they will understand.
If I'm lost in Germany, like, I'll find... I'll figure it out, you know?
Hey, this is... If I'm lost in German,
yeah.
you know what they're gonna do?
Yeah.
They're gonna switch in English for you.
Probably,
you're fucked.
Man. Everyone speaks
English. Hey, I practice German, man. It's my passion.
Yeah, I had a friend that went to Germany to perfect German. Everyone just spoke English.
Exactly.
As soon as they sense an accent, they
exactly,
just switch.
Exactly, exactly. Wow, so you impress girl with that, huh?
Well, here and there.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, well, I don't want to be like, hey, I speak a bunch of languages.
No, no,
but
you know
what I mean.
Yeah,
if it comes
yeah,
up,
yeah,
I'll
yeah.
throw it in. Yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a player. Are you a player?
I wouldn't say that. Not that
no,
much.
You, no, because you're reserved.
Yeah.
But you're not shy.
Yeah, but I am reserved. You know what I mean?
You're reserved, but you're not shy. Just realize that now.
Yeah.
You're not shy. You know. You're,
no, not really.
You live. You have. You know when it's time to use.
Yeah,
when,
I guess.
You're confident.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, but I'm still pretty reserved. So, like, when my friends, you know, when we go to bars, like, they'll be the ones to, like, start all the conversations. And, like, if there's one happening, I'll
get
into it, but I'm not, like...
So, you said you learned German
yeah.
because... You, what is the real reason?
Just for fun.
Just for fun.
I had extra time.
So, it's fun. Your next language is going to be in Chinese? Chinese and stuff.
I started learning a bit of Japanese.
Japanese?
Yeah. Just I can read a little bit, but I have no idea what I'm reading. I just know what the characters are. But yeah.
So when did you realize you understand German?
I'm still not sure if I do. Sometimes if I talk to someone, they say all the right things. I can answer the right things. And then sometimes someone says something, I have no idea what they're saying. So I'm kind of in between.
So like, when you watch a Hitler video, do you know what he said now?
Yeah, that's why I learned German.
Today we're gonna eat popcorn.
It is fun. Like my friend told me, it's pretty interesting. The reason he thinks Hitler was so mesmerizing in his speeches is because German, it's a little in reverse. They end their sentences with a verb, and usually it's the most powerful word. So that's why I go, ah, da, 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 and they say the verb, and people go crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah. I watched a newscast, like a radio recording of when Hitler died, and when they were announcing Hitler's death and the fact that Germany lost the war. It's pretty cool because you see the guy's voice is shaky. They think it's... That's it, Germany is done.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool to hear what they're saying in German. I understood when the guy was speaking. It was pretty crazy.
Is it something you want to achieve? Go in German?
I'd love to do stand-up in Germany.
Whoa! Cool.
I would want to try to do stand-up in every language I speak.
Do you think it's a language, it's a funny language? Do you think?
I think it can be funny in German.
In German, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you figure out kind of the way they use
So if
the
you
language,
use your style in English... Is it funny if you translate it in German?
I have to see. I'm not sure. Like, for example, I know... Because sometimes there are even subtle differences that make all the difference. Like, I know I thought about doing stand-up in Ukrainian or Russian when I went to Ukraine. And after, like, a week, I realized there's no way I'm going to be funny there. There's no way. It's just the mentality is so different. The structure of the language is so different. It's kind of... I even heard, like, for French. I don't know if you heard or felt that because of the structure of the French language, the way they speak, often you can't just translate your jokes verbatim because it just doesn't work.
Exactly my
yeah.
Exactly my point.
I've done French shows. I've done maybe like a dozen.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it a lot. The crowds are really great compared to English. They're pumped.
No, you can't compare.
Yeah, but and I try to translate my jokes verbatim, and I would have to change them up much more because
I know. I restart at zero in English.
Yeah.
But this is why I did that, because it's another challenge, you know?
Yeah, but there's something about...
I was so proud to learn from English. Now this guy, he learned German for fun.
Yeah. But you're funny in English. I don't know if I'd be funny in German. I don't think that's gonna happen.
So, okay, so now, because the big, big shock for a 10-year-old kid to send, no matter where it is, you don't know until you arrive in Canada. You don't know it's the best country in the world until you arrive here.
Yeah.
You somebody left, they said that you get out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For a squirrel, you know?
Yeah.
Think about that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe, mommy, it's this situation made who you are now.
Yeah, for sure. You know honestly, what I mean? I think it's, especially when I went back to Ukraine this summer, and I kind of compared their mentality, and I feel like what I would have been there and what I am here.
Yeah.
I think the best combination for me, it's both. Like, I mean, the best position for me. It's like some things I took from my country, a lot of it I took here, and that middle ground, like, I feel like it helped me a lot. Like, I feel like without those two things, I wouldn't be, without those two countries, I wouldn't be who I am.
So right what now. Do you think you miss if you will not come here?
What I missed in Ukraine,
yeah.
If I stayed there,
yeah.
It's just a different mentality. I think it's more.
It's communist.
No. They really, most of the country, they reject all that kind of mentality.
Yeah, it's why
they're
not
trying
with,
to be with the European Union. Yeah.
Okay.
It was at the time when I left. Well, when I was born, it was half a year before the Soviet Union collapsed.
Okay.
So it was pretty much over from then. But there's still a lot of, you know, the mentality is very similar to Russian.
Yeah.
But, so that's true, but there's a traditional aspect to it. There's like a European and Eastern European tradition. You kind of feel at home when you're.
But what did you miss? 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the kind of what you miss. It's just that being around people who kind of think the way you do.
Yeah.
And then later on, obviously when you get to like 15, 16, you start becoming more Canadian.
Yeah.
But until then, still you have your friends that think differently, your whole family.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different world.
And you don't have choice, you know? So it's and your grandmother was nice with you?
Yeah. She's nice.
Yeah.
But even her, she's kind of...
Did she was integrate? Or she,
no,
she was,
not really. Not
she
really.
Was in,
well, because she came when she was like maybe like 60, something like that, 55, 60. So at that point, it's really hard to learn another language.
Yeah,
it's really hard to culture.
Yeah.
She tried. She took a lot of French classes. She tried all that, but no. So
okay, so you arrived there. So they put you in a school with other people like you who don't understand French and English, and you start to learn French.
Yeah.
So did you have difficulty to learn French?
Yeah, it's a tough language when you think about it. We take it for granted.
It's tough. And 10 years old, it's between like, because I don't remember to learn French.
Yeah.
Because I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't remember that I learned French.
Yeah.
You know, so me, when I learned English at 37, I said, damn, you know, 37, think about that.
Yeah.
But 10 years old, when you don't have choice,
yeah.
Because you're in a situation that it's not your choice, look.
Yeah.
And your grandmother don't speak French.
No.
You know what I mean? So you arrive at home, you can learn, you can continue to speak French.
Yeah, well, there was TV. Like, I learned English
completely
from television.
Oh, really?
100%.
Wow.
I used to watch TV like 6 hours a day because I had nothing
else
to do.
Like what?
Simpsons, That 70s Show, Malcolm in the Middle. Those are the main three that I just watched like 6 hours a day.
Wow.
And by the time I went to high school, I did 2 years in the classe d'accueil there.
Yeah.
And by the time I went to high school, I was in the highest English because just from TV. Because when I did the placement test, I was a...
Wow.
This is a kid you observe fast. You can take any 10-year-old.
Yeah.
You make him watch TV 6 hours a day, he's going to learn that language.
Did you always start, I'm going to come back in Ukraine, I'm going to come back? Did you feel like they don't want you?
No, it's not that. There's no stability there. Even now, like it's pretty chaotic.
You don't know at 10 years old.
Well, at 10 years old, no.
You just miss the love of your parents.
Yeah, and it tells you, 10 years old, like I said, you're more like about the present. You're kind of like, whatever you put in, you're like, oh, I guess that's, I'm here now. Like,
okay,
that's
so,
what,
wow, so you...
Yeah, so you feel things at the back of your mind, maybe
so,
like, oh, I miss this, I miss that. But you kind of, you get whatever situation you're in.
So you already accept the situation.
Yeah.
So you don't blame your parent for that.
No.
It's a gift they give you.
Yeah. You kind of feel like, oh, this is what I do now. You take it from there.
So why did not come with you?
Immigration issues, they just couldn't. Yeah, that's why. Otherwise, she tried coming here, but
it's
impossible.
So, it's felt like it was a great experience for you to arrive here. The adaptation was well.
I feel like I'm, especially having come back after 18 years when I came back this summer and I came back to Canada, it made me an infinitely stronger person. Like, it's really hard to, like, I don't know, hurt my feelings or make me feel like I'm out of place at this point.
Yeah.
Because I know, I feel like I've had so much, how to put this? The circumstances put it, they were difficult enough to, like, to really shape me in a person that I'm strong enough where, like, a few things bother me now.
So when did you realize I'm a Canadian? Or maybe not the Canadian because it doesn't feel anything, but when did you realize this is my place here?
I was kind of, because I was dealing with immigration things until very recently.
It's really?
Really? I got my citizenship last year.
Really?
Yeah, I lived here for 18 years.
Man.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
So I lived here for 18 years before
You pay tax for 10 years.
Oh, man. Just one semester of CEGEP was $5,000.
Wow.
Because you're not Canadian.
Okay.
So dealing with immigration for like 18 years straight, pretty much. And then I think it was like 17 years. It's when I got my citizenship, the ceremony, that's where I was like, okay now I'm officially Canadian.
I'm going to broke window now.
Yeah.
I can't broke window. They will not send
me back.
Yeah,
no one's going to send me
so
back.
So this is this a stress for you?
The immigration thing was a lot of stress.
Because you don't want to go back there.
Yeah, you don't want to lose it all because if you've given like 16 years of your life to build something here and it just last moment.
And it's more than that. It's Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, compared to the, until very recently, I used to think that everyone wanted to live in Canada, even other countries. When I went to Amsterdam last year, like, because I couldn't travel either because I had to stay here on visa, so I didn't travel at all. It was Ukraine and then Canada, and that was it.
Well, but you can go to Vancouver, Moncton.
Yeah, it's big.
Did you travel there?
No, I didn't get the chance because of school. Like, honestly, I was so busy. I was doing like university at the same time as work, at the same time as comedy. Like, I would sometimes sleep on the bench outside here after work, just have enough energy to get through the day. I would leave my house at like 5 a.m., would come back at like 1 a.m. every time. So I was really, really busy most of the time, so I didn't get the chance to travel at all. And it's only until recently I cut my work down to a minimum, just have enough to focus on comedy, and then I'm hoping to like start going to the, you know, to like the U.S. to do some comedy, hit up Vancouver when I can, really start exploring it more. But point is, like, when I went to Amsterdam for the first time, it's the first time I realized, I'm like, people live good here. They have a good life. They don't want to go to Canada necessarily, but it's just because in my mind, Canada was the place that kind of saved me from a bad environment. So I thought everyone in the world wants to go to Canada. Canada is really great. But it, I just mean, I, it was so, I
yeah,
put it on the pedestal so much that I thought even people in Amsterdam want to live in Canada, or people in France want to live in Canada, where the reality is they're pretty good where they are too.
Yes, but you compare, the comparison is it's because if I live in Amsterdam, why I want to go somewhere else?
No, exactly. No, I agree.
No, this is the point.
Yeah, but you have no reason to go anywhere else because you're good there. You're from there and you're good
there. Exactly.
But in my mind...
But if you compare Amsterdam to Canada,
yeah,
in general, Canada is the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you're also saying it as a Canadian. I'm sure if you asked someone from Amsterdam, they would be like, oh, but Amsterdam is the best. Like, Holland is the best.
So why? Why? You know what I mean? What if you?
No, it doesn't matter. There is no best. But I'm just saying...
No, I know what I mean. But Amsterdam... do Amsterdam bring some immigrant all the time? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the Germany and then they're
but my point is if you think about this is Amsterdam,
yeah,
and this is Canada,
yeah,
so this is the playground we have.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what I mean?
No, I find
no guns. You know what I mean? Now the weed is legal.
Yeah,
maybe the prostitution they win for the prostitution, but you know, And France, a lot of people come to Canada.
They do, yeah.
Because it's so racist. It's a union now, you know.
Yeah.
It's not. But I know what you mean. Like when you, it's complicated. Like. It's not fun. No.
Yeah. No. But I used to think just every country had a dream of coming to Canada, where it's not the reality because it was my dream to kind of.
Exactly. If your mother sent you. And Cleveland, you would
think
Cleveland
is
the best place in the world.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Everyone would want to go to Cleveland.
I know. Yeah. So what is your best place now? Is it Amsterdam?
No, it's Montreal. Like, I'm still good at
it. But you said...
But I just, it made me realize, like, people have no reason to feel like they want to be saved and go to Canada. You know what I mean? They're good there. They have no problems then. It's just I mean that
no, you're right.
I build it up so much in my mind that I believe.
I know, but if you talk with people, what is the safer country in the world?
Yeah.
It's not Amsterdam.
It's very safe there.
No, I know, but people don't Because if you think about Amsterdam, it's prostitution legal, weed legal.
Yeah. I mean, depends on your interest. Maybe.
No, I don't think you're. I'm not gonna send our kids, our 10-year-old kids, in Amsterdam.
They have some good fields there. And if you're a field enthusiast.
Exactly. No, mate. Yeah, it's. So you realize that there.
Yeah. Well, just because I haven't traveled at all.
Exactly.
Like, there are other great places.
So you remember where you were in Amsterdam when this.
Man, just walking around, it's so beautiful. Like every you know, if you want to take a leak, you go into some alleyway. Even that's too gorgeous. You don't want to do it. You know, kind of like every single
like
corner.
It's like a Smurf town.
Yeah, it's like a giant museum. The whole city. Yeah. So just walking around was just amazing.
Yeah,
and I was just but on the terrace. Here's the thing that I miss here already. Is
imagine
that
if your grandmother live in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
We don't have the same discussion now. You know what I mean?
Maybe I'd say it's great.
No.
Maybe.
You never went to Saskatchewan, huh?
No.
I went there. Tabarnak, trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ukraine is better.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you go from like Ethiopia.
Sorry for the people in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Are you pumped, buddy?
Oh, I'm pumped. You
want your Americano coffee?
Thank you.
Black, you said?
Yeah.
Me, I love put sugar and milk to keep my diet. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
This is the Peroni, man. This is where I do my podcast. Best restaurant Italian. The owner, the staff are amazing. Because, you know, to have the chance, you know, to do this.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm in a great condition, it's fun.
Yeah.
Because I wanna keep, like, it's alive, you know. It's not at my home or it's not in a studio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know you're going to talk, you know, about you. Now you don't know.
Yeah.
Until you watch there.
Yeah.
Oh, I think a camera filmed me.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know what I mean?
Until some dude from Saskatchewan sends us a message.
Exactly. And I mean, look, imagine what you said to me, man. It's amazing, your story.
Yeah.
You know?
That's pretty crazy, yeah.
So, and did you play here?
Yeah, I've done it like 5 times.
The Peroni, best comedy club or comedy night. Shout out to Ali and Sid.
It was a great
yeah,
time. Every time I performed there.
Oh, it's amazing, man.
I did it when back when Santi was running it.
Oh, wow. Shout out to Santiago.
Great. Yeah, Santi, I love him.
I'm going to interview him soon.
He's a great guy. One of my favorite people on the scene.
He's a great man. New York. So now you do you start to dream about that?
Going to New York?
Yeah, the States.
I'd love to do a few shows there. I never had like I feel like it's every comic's dream to like go to New York and like make it there, but I never had that.
Why?
I don't know. I think because everyone does it.
Let's go there. Comedy, is it important for you?
Oh yeah, that's where
you want to pay your rent someday with comedy?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so why New York never? New York, you know the American dream, you know the bullshit.
Yeah, the bullshit.
It's the bullshit, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like it's kind of the go-to for everyone, and there's a lot of comedians there. I feel like it's oversaturated a little bit.
No, man, it's saturated everywhere now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I mean there especially.
Oh yeah.
I think everyone goes there.
I would
love to go to like, for some reason I had the idea I would love to go to like London and do comedy there.
But yeah, I think London too. It's saturated.
Yeah.
But. The London comedy, it's not dead. Like you're gonna get paid, you're gonna have opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't think if you go to New York now, opportunity was gonna arrive anymore.
Yeah,
I don't,
it's expensive.
I don't believe.
You have to pay to be on open mics there.
Yeah,
I
did.
Insane.
I paid $5 at the Buddha comedy.
I find it insane.
And the guy said you have to buy a drink. I said tabarnak, fuck you. I already gave you $5 to play, man.
Yeah, let's see. Already here, like people complain. That you don't get paid enough, which I mean, I agree. Like, you have to make money off comedy.
Yeah.
Compared to the French scene, when I did the dozen shows in French, I get paid every single show, even if it was canceled.
Yes.
Once one show was canceled, I got paid, I got beer.
Yeah.
And if
you don't need to bring people.
No, nothing. It's just there.
That's your job.
They're like unionized. They have a whole thing going, everyone helps each other. It's great.
Yeah, it's
here, you know, it's tough. But in New York, you have to pay on top of it.
Yeah.
I find it insane. And what I heard in London, or just around England and Great Britain, you can just go around those areas, those countries, and just, you can make a really good living there.
So is this something serious? You think about that?
I think one of these days, I'm trying to do more like podcasting now.
I saw your podcast, Baldi.
Yeah.
Is it you?
Yeah, I just filmed my fourth episode.
So for the people who don't know, what is the name of your podcast?
And it's called No One's Impressed with Vlad.
No One's Impressed with Vlad?
Well, it's No One's Impressed, the official title.
Not impressed only when you talk in German. Yeah. I'm like, it's impressed. Did you talk about that in your podcast? You used to speak in German?
No. I talk about mainly like things that happened last week, the week before, and then some important things that I want to discuss.
I
talk about my trip to Ukraine.
Okay.
After 18 years that I haven't been there, and like kind of what it felt like going there. I get into some personal stuff, like I met my dad for the first time this year. I talked about that.
What do you mean?
I've never seen him before. And
so one day you leave Ukraine.
Yeah,
your mother.
Yeah, my mom said.
Your father was not there.
No, I didn't know who he was at the time. So like.
So 10 years, you never saw him in the first 10 years.
I didn't see him for 28 years. I didn't know who he was.
So what's happened?
I don't know, just Skype.
You opened a Facebook.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. So I got him on Facebook.
Why you want to talk to you?
Well, he didn't know I existed, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
So he didn't know he put his penis in your mother?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a more gentle way to put it, but yeah.
Wow, he was drunk, on your mother?
No, yeah. He slipped, and then one thing led to another, and he has a kid in Canada. No, it's, I think they were dating, and he wasn't too responsible, you know. He wasn't the best boyfriend, and then she got pregnant, and then she moved to another town, and she left him her number, and she's like, if he's if he cares, he's gonna call, he's gonna find out he has a kid, and he never called. I don't know if my mom wants me to tell all that stuff.
What is the name of your mother?
She doesn't speak English.
What is the name of your mother?
No, I'm not gonna say her name. No,
but shout out to your mother.
Shout out to my mom
For everything she did to you, man.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So did. When, is it you who said to your mother, I would like to know where is my father?
Yeah, I'm just curious who he was.
Remember when?
When I was like 19, I was just curious.
Yeah, 19,
like,
okay. Yeah, so you wait 9 years here and say, you know what, I need a figure father.
No, you know? Not even. I was just curious. I was like, who's that guy? And then my aunt, I think, overheard me on the phone. She looked him up. She found him with Skype. And then when I was going to Ukraine, I was like, it could be a cool moment, you know. So we met up, we hang out for like 3 hours, and then that was that.
So the guy never, so he respond,
man, he was happy. He didn't know he had a son, you know. It was like one of those Maury Povich moments, you know. But
so you keep the relation with him?
Yeah, we talk here and there.
I don't
need a dad at this point. I don't need someone to teach me how to ride a bike or something.
No,
you know?
Exactly. Like, or give some peanut to a squirrel together.
Yeah.
Son and father.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm fine now.
But it's weird because he missed that.
Yeah.
And it's not because he's a moron.
Yeah.
It's because he didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. Well,
so this guy have a lot of remorse about it, because he some in general sometimes, you know, he doesn't care, but this guy, he cares. What, I have a son, I didn't know what's happened, did I miss 19 years?
Well, you know, like, he's also like became like a hardcore hippie guy. He has like a neck tattoo and long hair, so he's all about the present moment, and what it is.
Okay,
presently he's great. I don't think he regrets his past career.
So everybody's happy. So you meet one time?
Yeah, one time for 3 hours.
How much time you talk?
We spent like 3-4 hours. We hung out.
Wow.
Walked around. Yeah. He bought me ice cream. That was a great.
Whoa.
I know. I paid for it. No, he wanted to get me ice cream. I paid for it.
So it's like bicycle.
Yeah. That was always a
moment. So do you did the est-ce qu'il te ressemble? How we say that in English?
Yeah, I was saying. I kept saying he looks exactly like me if I just stop giving a shit. Like, he has lovely long hair.
This, like, is funny, man.
Yeah, like long hair, baggy
don't
clothes.
Give, yeah, dude. Okay, wow. Okay, so let's go back in the world of comedy. Now we know who you are.
Yeah.
Now we know why you need attention.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because it's normal. Because you.
I don't really need attention. I don't think.
You need a lot of attention.
I feel like no.
Because
like,
nobody
in person, I don't.
Nobody go on stage if you don't need attention.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what kind of attention. I guess it's just like, maybe. I'm not. I don't want people. Everyone should see me. Like, for example, if I made. If, let's say, you're like, what's your end goal? For example, what's your biggest? If you could achieve anything, what would it be? Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be like Kevin Hart, for example.
Okay.
I genuinely wouldn't. I wouldn't want like to be like the most recognized comedian. I would want to be make a really good living off comedy.
Yes.
Like if I had to use a comedian as an example, maybe like, I don't want to say Marc Maron, he's a bit too kind of niche, but someone who can, like, you can sell out, let's say, I don't know, 500 seaters or like 1,000 seaters, but you're not selling out arenas.
A Bill Burr,
but now he's becoming even more famous. But like,
I know.
But my example would be more Bill Burr. It wouldn't be someone who's like mainstream.
No, but you want to be more underground.
Yeah,
because Bill Burr is more underground now. Now he takes the celebrity.
Yeah.
He will be stupid to not go there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you remember Bill Burr, he was the underground, you know?
Yeah,
Joe Rogan, you know?
I love that vibe.
Exactly.
Like the person that made
me... That's why you said Marc Maron.
Yeah. Yeah, the person that made me start doing stand-up is... the one that inspired me the most was Dylan Moran. A lot of people don't know who he is. He's this Irish comic, and he would do like 1,000, 2,000 seaters. It's pretty known, I think, in like England and Ireland,
but
he's not very known around the world. But it's the fact that he would do stand-up, he'd watch a special, he'll forget what he's talking about. He'll ask the audience members, like, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Iraq. And he'd just get in. And it was so, it felt so like cathartic, you know, the way he can just, he did it. He said everything he had to say, he made his money off that, and that's perfect. But
Is it because you're scared of the success? Is it too big for you?
No, not at all. It's just if I got to that point, hypothetically, if I got to that point, it would be great. It would be a bonus, but that's not my goal at all.
It's not your goal
at all.
So let's talk about your goal. What is your goal? Main goal, a realistic goal from 2020.
Just make money off comedy.
To live, pay your rent.
Live well off comedy.
Okay, live well. Okay, so let's go there. Okay, when did you start comedy? Remember?
Like 8 years ago.
So we meet together. I started in 2012.
Yeah. For English.
Yeah. So let's go there. So you said you went to university?
Yeah.
How long did you went there?
Oh man, on and off, because I was paying for my university at the same time, so I didn't do full time. I just finished last year, so I did maybe like 4 years of university.
Okay, so you never quit that?
No, I finished. Okay, I got my degree now.
Okay, so when did you start comedy? 8 years ago, remember where it was, your first show?
The Comedy Nest.
First show ever, Comedy Nest.
Yeah, it took me 2 years to summon up the courage to get on stage.
Wow.
2 years, because I had insane stage fright.
So in the 2 years, you go often, see the Nest, take a beer and watch?
Not even. I just kind of was like
scared to go upstairs.
I wasn't even comfortable laughing in the audience.
Really?
Yeah. I remember the first show I saw at the Nest. I remember it was Daniel Fitzpatrick. I don't know if you know him.
No.
He's a really funny comic. But it was him performing to a crowd of like 3. Like the show should have been canceled. And I remember sitting in the back with my friend and just being there, feeling that atmosphere. I was just sweating myself. Like
I was vicariously
feeling bad.
You have
for him.
Empathy for him.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, you know.
Yeah, I would not laugh too.
Yeah, yeah. It was uncomfortable.
I would not laugh. It's true. But if it's a jam-packed, sold-out crowd, you're going to laugh.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. So I remember like just seeing that. I'm like, man. No. I'm like, I have to do that. Like, shit.
But how he respond, the guy?
Oh, he did great. He's very comfortable.
You know what I mean? So you should focus on that, then focus on...
Yeah. But I was just terrified. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to be that confident on stage. You know, there's 3 people. It's awkward.
Yeah, but... So if you watch hockey, he's a tab. I'm like, I will never be a hockey player.
Yeah.
You have to start somewhere.
Yeah. I would never be, even if I,
you know, I had
the confidence, but...
Why did you jump? If for 2 years you think about that, who make change your mind? Is it a guy? Somebody said, "Hey, you're funny. You should try."
No, it was just mustard enough willpower. I was like, you just have to do it. It's gonna suck, and then I did.
You sent an email.
And I suffered, and I
suffered. No, don't too fast. I want to go there.
I sent the email.
Send the email.
Yeah, I was sweating from not sleeping for like what was like 5 days.
Okay, so 5 days you have to wait. Did you start to write something?
Yeah. Yeah. I was already recording myself like on my webcam, which is, by the way, the most cringe thing I've ever had to sit through. Was like 5-6 years in, I found the tape of me before I did stand up, and like I'm leaving the pauses for when the audience is supposed to laugh, and it's just, I watched it with my girlfriend at the time. I stopped like 6 times. It was horrendous,
man. And you showed that to her?
So hard.
Man,
oh, yeah,
you don't have ego, huh?
Oh, that's brutal.
Okay. So you go there.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were in the lineup?
I had to be like 5th or 6th.
So you are in a great spot.
Yeah.
Because first, you don't want to be first, and you don't want to be last.
No.
So in the middle.
And I didn't bring any friends.
No, exactly. Good. Good for you, man. Good for you. Yeah. Do you know who hosts?
Sorry? Yeah. No, I don't remember. I don't remember. But it was honestly, it was a blur. It was so terrifying. It was
I understand that.
Yeah.
So, do you remember when he said your name?
Yeah. Like,
so you walk.
Yeah.
And you remember the feeling?
And it was back when the Comedy Nest wasn't set up the way it is now.
The green room, and you go already on the stage.
Yeah, the stage was like, it was really long. You know, remember the guy? It was the stage was on the side.
Yeah.
Now it's like perfect. Now
yes.
everyone is
yes.
like
it's on the wall there.
It's on the wall, but before it's like there's this giant stage.
Yeah.
It was much taller, I think, than it is now.
Yeah, I think.
It was taller. I think it was when they had the curtains. It wasn't even the wall. It was the curtains.
Curtain on the side.
Yeah. So like
front of the bar.
Yeah. No, not fun. Like by the wall, like behind. Okay. Like you have the stage behind. It was like this curtain.
Ah, okay.
It was a long time. It was
Okay. So you have a neon, purple neon.
Yeah.
Comedy Nest.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It was like a tall stage.
Yeah.
And it was just the lights. You don't even see the people. And I was just sweating.
I love that. Oh man.
No one laughed.
No. Go. So you go on stage. Yeah. You took the mic.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Did you took the mic, or you just.
I think I took the mic. I don't know.
You remember if you moved the
I think I kept it in front.
Okay, so and now you how many people is there?
There had to be like a good 20.
Okay, 20 front or 20 mix everywhere?
Yeah, scattered a little bit, like 20.
Okay, 30. So you have a spot is hard.
Yeah.
So what did you talk? What did you say? Hello, everybody.
Yeah, I did all the thing. You know, I think it came off better than I thought it would. I thought it would just like face plant and that was gonna be it, but no one laughed. I think I got a chuckle here and there, but like a sad, encouraging you laugh.
So you saw the red light.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, thank God. I wanted to do it.
It's long, eh?
Longest 5 minutes. Of
it's like
life,
like 30 minutes. So you get when you get off of the stage.
Yeah.
Remember what you said to yourself?
I was happy that I did it. Yes. Honestly, I was proud of myself that I did it.
Yes.
I didn't think about the set after that because I knew it was going to be bad.
Yeah.
I kind of knew, but I was like, man, this is like a big, big, big one for me.
This is fun because you understand already the main goal.
Yeah.
Of comedy, it's not to kill or bomb, it's to go on stage.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say to every comic whenever someone asks me for advice, they just started, they say, well, what should I do? What should I talk about? I always say,
go.
It doesn't matter.
No.
I say, you're going to, even a year from now, you're going to look back, you're going to say, it was all garbage.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, you're going to hate it.
Exactly.
So it really doesn't matter. No. The only thing that matters is improving your stage presence, your delivery, timing.
Yeah.
Those things are going to evolve continuously. What you're saying on stage in the beginning doesn't matter. It's
going to
be shit. It's going to be bad.
But they don't want you say that.
Yeah. They want
the magic pill. So it's your life, buddy. So did you drink after? Or you go home right away?
No, I think I just went home. I very early on, I told myself I don't mix alcohol and stand up.
Okay.
Because it becomes like a habit. I really didn't want it to be a habit.
Yeah.
So I remember telling myself, like, I'm just going to suffer as much as I can. I already kind of like, I like to really deconstruct things and really try to figure them out. And I felt like I just need to always put myself in the most stressful position on stage to grow as a comic. Even early on, when I was just suffering, I would just make it hard on myself just to grow faster. I always wanted to grow faster. So I didn't want alcohol to help me. I don't want to calm down after. I wanted to really like feel everything and just push through it, keep going.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
So you go home. So when is the next show after that?
I did the worst mistake. I did Grumpy's on the second show.
I think it's not the worst mistake.
Yeah.
I think it's the best thing you did.
Yeah, I mean, it really showed that I really wanted to do it because the show was...
Oh, no, man, then it's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the scary.
Yeah. I did, and I was before last. I got on at like...
Wow.
Yeah.
So 1 a.m.?
1 something. Like, I think it was 1:30. There was like 20 some acts and there were musicians.
So why if nobody's there, why you said that you regret to did that at the second one?
I didn't regret it. I just meant like if I felt, you know, nervous and felt shitty about my first, I didn't feel that shitty because I was happy I did it. But having done Grumpy's afterwards, it was just like, that's a place where seasoned comics go sometimes just to get back to reality, you know? Because like, you feel too good about yourself, do Grumpy's.
It's the ego.
Yeah.
To kill the ego.
To kill the ego.
If you understand that, you're going to have a great career. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But if you're already bad and you're just starting, it's like it pushes it down.
Yeah, but at the same time.
But it's good to for growth. It's
me, I still go there, though.
Yeah. I try to go there.
I go there all the time, man.
I haven't been there in a while, but I always tell myself that.
It's not easy to go there.
No, it's not. Every time I'm on stage there, I'm like, I think, who am I doing this for? It's not for them. They're not listening.
No, it's for your ego.
Yeah.
To kill.
Yeah.
The ego said, you're too good for that. Stay home, jerk off, eat chips. You know, say fuck
but
you.
But sometimes I think it's good only for the feeling of I'm hustling. I'm putting in for comedy.
Yeah.
But in terms of delivery or anything like that, I'm like, no one's listening. I might as well go tell jokes into a shampoo bottle in my shower. It doesn't. No one's listening.
No. You're wrong because yes, you're right in a sense. Like you don't go there to see if your joke work.
Yeah.
Your joke would never work. You go there to keep the muscle. Because comedy is not just joke.
Yeah.
Because it's not because you have a great joke, the joke's going to be funny in your mouth. Because you're rusty. Because you didn't play for the last week. If you go to the Grand Prix, you're going to fight.
Yeah.
To say, I'm on stage, I talk in the mic, nobody care. How you respond.
Yeah.
You fight for that. So this is the muscle.
Yeah.
Very important muscle. Before to say, oh, nobody listened my joke. Who care?
Yeah.
Because me, I when I do corporate, when they pay me a lot, and it's the same situation, like people don't listen, I'm not scared.
You're going to grumpy's mode.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fight. You don't care. But now I have a motivation. They pay me.
Yeah.
So I just do automatic pilot, blah, 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 you know? And the client is happy. And I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's because comedy, it's more than one muscle. To be comfortable, to be on stage, to be comfortable to any kind of situation. Talk on the mic, look.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we learn by ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know. And even like doing podcasts, for example. Like just all those
talk
horizons.
Alone. You talk alone, you.
Yeah. No, it helps the stand-up.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does help the stand-up.
Stage time... some people will pretend like I shit all the time on Grumpy's. I don't shit on Grumpy's.
Yeah.
I respect Grumpy's. It's why I shit on Grumpy's.
Yeah. Grumpy's
is the gym.
It's in the name. Like, it's just people,
You know, people say, I want to go to New York. I'm tired to do this shitty show here. Good luck. In New York,
you
have 1,000 Grumpy's.
Yeah. That's what I hear. Yeah. People yell shit out. They don't
exactly. So I prefer to bomb...
Yeah.
With my friend, my other comedian friend.
Yeah.
Because it's we live the same situation.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, and now I start to kill at the Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like 10 people sit there, they don't care. I arrive, and they laugh, they applause, and I have high five.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I decide to say fuck it.
Yeah.
I will not be intimidated by Grand Prix because I was for a long time, look. I shit in my pants, look.
Yeah.
Waiting my turn in the moisy flavor, you know, inside. Like,
you know
what I mean? Like you say, why me? The pain, the suffering, but the reward at the end.
Yeah.
It's when I kill and incorporate.
Yeah, it must be a great feeling if you feel like you can own it like that.
Or here.
Peroni, I feel like they're very receptive. They're great.
Yes, because you bomb at the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
What's worse than Grand Prix?
Yeah.
It's like NFL... The practice are so intense that when you saw a football game, it's like it's so easy for them.
Yeah.
Because they practice. But it's, we need that too.
Yeah. Well,
it's why you're comfortable on stage here. Like, how are you, everybody? You know, people are there.
Yeah.
You say, hey, it's so easy. Why is it so easy?
Yeah.
Because you made your your homework.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know.
That's why I like doing things. You know, you're putting yourself out of your comfort zone, but comedically, sometimes I would not think of what jokes I'm going to do on stage.
Yeah.
Other times, for example, I was doing like these skits on Instagram, YouTube, you know, like those short skits, which felt terrifying for me again, because I'm like, I have no feedback. People
exactly.
can hate it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I had that nerve. And then when I started getting comfortable with those, I started doing podcasts. And again, it's so...
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. Like even like right now we're talking, there's like a mutual conversation happening. But if you're alone, like I feel like 10 minutes in, I start going like, who gives a shit? Like who? And then you have to force through it. Like, no, make it interesting.
Exactly.
And then you make it interesting.
When I had the idea to do my podcast, I said, I was not, I said, I'm not ready to be myself and said what I believe on camera. And I have to say, no, fuck off.
Yeah.
Who cares about what they think? If they don't like it, they just dislike or don't watch it.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, but after, who's going to come to my podcast? You know what I mean? The response was amazing.
Yeah.
You know? Because people know who I am. Mm-hmm. You know who I am. I never talk bad about you.
Yeah.
I never discourage you. I never, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a good guy. I think, you know, I work hard.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Why not mix that together? Mm-hmm. Show to the people, oh, you're amazing.
Yeah.
And let's have a discussion we always have.
Yeah.
After a show.
Yeah, and I think if you want to make it as a comedian, like, people need to feel like, not that you're their friend, but you need to build a connection.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people know the jokes, but have no idea what a comedian is because they have no connection with a comedian.
And they think, yeah, and so many, yeah. And another thing is they don't know we have a community of comedian in Montreal. They don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Me, I know you, but I didn't know you.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I saw you 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, you only talk about stand-up. You just go, yeah, how was your set?
Yeah.
All the,
but now we have the story of Vlad.
Yeah.
You know, forever.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we explain the struggle to succeed.
Yeah.
And it's rare we saw that in podcasts.
Yeah.
Everybody said, why you do a podcast about comedy? It's 1,000. Yeah, fine. Like you said, Mark Maron, he talk about like that, but not very about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will not change. Also, you like UFC? Let's talk about UFC. I don't care you like UFC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to know everything about you.
Yeah.
Why you decide to, you have a great life, you know, you moved to Canada 10 years old, you study, you can make a lot of money because you're a genius. No, I'm going to suffer in comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why?
Yeah.
Why you do that? Why you did not say to yourself, okay, you know what? It was a great experience.
Yeah.
But I will not continue. Why you decide to continue? You want to prove something to who?
Well, if I was a genius, I think I'd be doing something that pays right now. But it's just something that.
You don't know me. You went to university.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't take a genius. Plus, my GPA will tell you that I'm not a genius at all.
No, man. Listen, I know you're on ball with yourself. But it's not for everyone, university.
Yeah, no.
Okay?
I didn't market it.
You should be proud.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I kind of went because, like, you know, immigrant parents is like the classic excuse. And and that's kind of the reason I went.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did that for your parent, for your mother?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Literally, my grandma wouldn't be subtle about you. Say, can you get a university degree before I die? And I'd be like, oh,
No, mate. Is it your mother who told you? To study.
No, my mother not as much.
Okay.
I think my grandma.
Like your grandma put you that in your head.
Because she went through a really hard time in Ukraine. You know, things were difficult, so you need stability.
Okay. So she cried when you said you want to be a comedian.
She just thinks it's like it's gonna pass. It's like
I like
skateboards now. She's like, oh, you know, you'll grow past it.
So it's 8 years now.
Yeah, it's 8 years. Yeah. But yeah, I'm still doing it. In her mind, it's like, okay, he has a university degree. When, you know, no one's booking him anymore, then he's gonna get a job.
Where do you play in general in Montreal? Where do you? Because I did not saw you this summer. I saw you at the Grenouille, I think.
Yeah, well, this summer I went for 6 weeks to Ukraine. That's why I was out some summer.
Okay, did you do comedy there?
No,
I
was thinking about it. No, I didn't watch. Okay. I kind of watched on TV. I kind of figured out, like, if I want to, because I want to do jokes there in Ukrainian or Russian, and I would need to watch more of their comedy and then try to make it the way they kind of, you know, with their structure. But I think next time I go, I'm going to try.
So what's happened when you passed 6 week there? Did you find some answer? Did you find an answer there?
Yeah.
About the kids of 10 years old?
Yeah. It really made me, because I saw all my childhood friends, which I didn't see in 18 years, my family. I walked through my old neighborhoods and everything. And it kind of...
smaller than bigger, eh?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I thought, oh, you walk like 10 miles there, and you're really just on the corner.
Wow.
But, it just, I feel like I felt more grounded. I just felt like, okay, these are my people.
Yeah.
I'm connected with them again.
Yeah.
Now I can go back. There's something about it. It was like closure, because for 18 years, you know, you start like building up this image of what your country is. You feel like, you know,
you lost the flavor, the the odor, you know, everything. You keep it because it's the big stress what you did.
Yeah.
So you keep that, you know, and because it's a big miss. The miss your mother, no?
Yeah.
I don't know. So did you realize that you have squirrel in Ukraine?
And no squirrels. A lot of
Really?
No.
No squirrel in Ukraine.
A lot of cats and a lot of dogs.
But not squirrel.
No.
Okay, so you're lucky. Imagine. Imagine you arrive. The first thing you saw is a squirrel.
Yeah.
Say, fuck, you lied to me, mother.
She just hit all the squirrels until I left.
Oh my God. So do you have a number? Because no. Listen, travel makes you stronger.
Yeah.
Make you another, you know, you have experience. Now you came back, it's intense, look.
Yeah.
When you get out of the plane, I'm sure you have emotion.
When I got there?
Yeah, when you got there.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. It's just like the air, the atmosphere, you go, ah. Like you just blocks
exactly.
back, everything
the
blocks
odor,
back.
Exactly.
Yeah, just the air, you go, okay, this is my...
Oh, so much souvenir, right, man?
Yeah. And then I went all around the country, I went to every corner, because it's pretty, compared to Quebec, it's a small country, but it's... I think it's the biggest country in Europe after Russia, Ukraine.
Okay.
And so I went to every corner, and everywhere you go, even if it's not my city, it feels like my city because you're kind of your home, you know?
Did you miss some kind of food there?
Man, there's no food to be missed there. It's not there. It's not,
no, man, it's the food of
cuisine
your mother.
Cuisine doesn't flourish.
The food of your mother, man.
Yeah, well, I had to hear my grandma eat. Whatever.
Oh, your grandmother passed the torch.
Yeah, there's some good, like borscht. I don't know if you've eaten borscht, like this red beet soup.
Okay, exactly.
It's pretty great. But in terms of if you go to a restaurant, it's literally what your mom would make. There's nothing fancy.
What was your reaction when you saw your room?
The apartment I used to live in became a shoe store, so that's gone.
You did not come back at your old place?
No. My mom started building a small house there, sometimes on the outskirts of the city, so I was staying there.
So do you think you're going to have a new number about that? Maybe not directly about...
I'm already starting,
now you make peace, though, with your mother, with your not your in war, but you know what I mean? It's a big decision. And now you know with your adult eyes.
I started writing a bit about that already. I don't want it to be like too, how to put this?
Emotional, intense.
Too emotional, too preachy about like, you know, or anything like that. But a lot of it was very important to me and it was like a big part of me. So like, I feel like I will address it. I'm becoming more comfortable in addressing those things. But... I keep it light, kind of. There's 8 message there, but it's not.
I felt like when you came back here and you get out of the plane, you said, home sweet home. Is it true?
It felt, honestly, it's hard. It's difficult because it's like half kind of. It made me go, oh man, they're kind of like if here, even when you say my name is Vlad, they go, Vlad, oh, from somewhere else, Vlad.
Yeah.
No one thinks I'm Canadian here.
No,
I'm an immigrant here. There?
Yeah.
Even though I was treated like a tourist, it's still like, because they thought everyone called me American there, it still felt like the area kind of reminded me of when I felt not an immigrant, you know what I mean? So there was that feeling.
Are you ashamed?
Of?
Of what you are?
No, not at all.
So why you say that about your Vlad?
It's just the sense of, you can't really feel 100% at home in a place where the people, Canadians, don't consider you as Canadian as them on average.
Like feel that? Oh, yeah?
No, well, in high school, I can say about that, they go, where are you from? Ukraine. Okay, Vlad the Ukrainian Vlad. Vlad who's from Ukraine. Vlad the
Ukrainian.
Yeah, but never...
this is an ignorant.
Yeah, but it's very common. It's very common. Yeah, it's very common.
Wow.
Now, like on the comedy scene, people, and even then, some people will be like, oh, yeah, the Ukraine. Where are you from? Okay, I'm going to say you're from Ukraine.
Maybe
on stage.
For me, you're Canadian. You're Russian Canadian. You know what I mean?
Ukrainian Canadian.
Exactly. Oh, sorry, I don't want to answer. It's like I said, what, Nordic Canadian? Yeah. Like you said, you're Nordic family.
Well, you never know. Maybe they're going to annex us by next year, so I'll be Russian.
But you feel you're Ukrainian or Canadian?
I feel like I'm a Ukrainian Canadian.
Exactly.
Like, totally. Yeah.
Well, you know,
but I'm just saying, like, in terms of feeling home, like, even when the government, the Canadian government, they officially said that I'm Canadian last year. I've lived here for 18 years, and I'm recognized as a Canadian just now.
It's a little bit an insult, eh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. After 18, 17 years, I was like, I should. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you receive? You received what? A pin?
I did get a pin.
A Canadian pin.
Yeah.
Where is you don't put it?
It's at home somewhere. I got a certificate.
Yeah.
Someone from the House of Commons sent me a letter congratulating me. It's pretty cool. It's pretty nice. But I just mean, I literally lived here as an immigrant until like last year. So for me, it's it feels right to be in Montreal. It feels like home.
Yeah, and it's
but it's still not full 100%.
And it's fun because now because you're full Canadian, you go somewhere else visit.
Yeah.
You don't stay here, you know, because you see everything.
Yeah.
So you did Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Where did you go after?
Oh, I just went from Amsterdam.
Okay. And the next movie is London.
I want to go to London. I'm going to try Edinburgh, the comedy festival this year.
I'm going to
try to do that.
So this is the goal for next year?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to try to do the festival because I feel like I can do, I've done 35 before.
Okay.
I want to do a 45 and just have like.
So I'm going to see you also here all the winter.
Yeah. I'm gonna
all right, be, man. It's fun, man.
Yeah.
So, what is the secret goal? You don't like. I got Michelle Furtado.
Yeah.
She's a new comic. She won a Netflix special someday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What is your main ultimate goal? What is motivate you to continue to bomb in the comedy club? I know you want to do 45 there, but the, you know something.
Higher, something bigger.
Yeah.
My goal. Well, I told myself. And it's like a arbitrary figure, but it's something I gave myself. I say the year I make, if I make 30,000
a year
in 1 year, the first year, I don't care if it's gonna downhill from there. I'm quitting my job and I'm putting comedy full time.
The goal, main goal, the ultimate goal, is to pay your rent.
I can live okay off comedy, where I can still help my family in Ukraine, send some money here and there. Because some people, I feel like I can do like, oh, I'll give myself like 20,000. I can live off, you know, scraps, make it easy, but I still want to help my family. They kind of, the economy is not that great in Ukraine, so I like to send money here and there. So if I can live comfortably doing comedy, that's the biggest thing. For me, everything after that is a bonus.
Exactly. And then, I have the same mentality, man.
Yeah. And I think that's why kind of something I've been saying a lot, what I personally feel is that there are a lot of people doing comedy in Montreal or in general, but there are very few comedians. People who take it as a job, people who want to just make it their living. It's not about, you know, making millions.
No, no.
And it's not about just...
Be a superstar.
Yeah, it's about actually wanting to analyzing what you do, putting time, trying to set a game plan, and really trying to make it in comedy as though that's your job. That's your
exactly.
job. That's what you do.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so last question, Bobby. Do you think the Expo are back?
Man, I don't even watch baseball. I feel terrible.
But you know the Expo.
Yeah, I know the Expos. Are they supposed to come back?
Yes. And at 10 years old, your grandmother never invite you at the Olympic Stadium to see the baseball?
Man, if I... If
you
I,
never saw the Expo when a school day?
If I tell my grandma, if I say Montreal Expos, she'll say, what is Expos? She has no idea.
She's going to say that like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. What is...
But for you, do you think it's a good thing if the Expo are back? Do you think
the more for the city, the better. Like
exactly.
I love sports. I love when people get together. I love
summer,
that vibe.
You know,
like with the soccer, like the Saputo Stadium.
Yeah,
there,
look at that soccer.
Yeah,
you like soccer?
Yeah, I watch it
because this is the impact of Montreal.
Yeah, I've watched them in the stadium. I love it. I love the atmosphere. When
Yeah. So you went there. So you like you saw the impact.
Yeah. I think they're playing. Who was it? Thierry Henry was on the team.
Oh, yeah.
New Jersey, I think. I don't remember which team. But it was against him.
The Galaxy? Is it the Galaxy?
No, that's LA.
The LA Galaxy? No,
yeah, that's Beckham who was playing for them.
Ah, exactly. Do you think your grandmother knows the Montreal Canadiens, eh?
Vaguely. That's how out of it she is.
So do you think the Montreal Expo, the Montreal Canadiens is going to make the playoff this year?
I sure hope so.
Are you a fan of hockey? Do you watch hockey?
Not that much. I watch a little bit. I try to get into it. I try. I want to be like a sports guy, and I just can't connect.
You're more a German.
A German trader.
You like to learn language.
Yeah, I'm more like a book guy.
You read a lot of book.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm more like a.
So Montreal Canadiens for you is not important.
I find it important because I love the atmosphere.
Yes.
That's why I try to get into it. I want to be kind of part of it. I find it cool to be part of it. I just never got into it. But I love it when, even the bus is here. Like, you're waiting for the bus, go Canadians, go.
I know.
Even in the line, like, I remember this one time they were playing. They got to, like, semifinals or something. And there's this old lady. She's, like, 80. She's asking the bus driver, like, what was the score? Like, everyone across the
world. I know. They brainwash us. But, everywhere you go, it's...
But I love it. I love that vibe.
So do you think they're going to make the playoff this year?
I'm saying they will make the playoffs this
one
year.
One round? Two round?
The
Stanley Cup?
They're going to get to the finals, man.
You think? With the thing they have?
It's dumb logic.
You know
because,
the thing?
Because I know nothing, okay. It's there's more luck involved, and they're going to make it.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
What is the name of the plate, the food you talk about, or the bean?
Borscht.
It's borscht?
Yeah, try it.
This is bean with what?
It's, what's it called? Yeah, like red kidney beans with betrave.
But what, okay, that, what
beets?
Does that taste?
Beets?
Yeah.
It's great. It's really good.
It's salty. It's a comfort.
It's like a soup.
It's like a comfort food.
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone eats it like every day there. It's like the staple.
Okay.
Of their cuisine. You should really try it. Everyone that had borscht.
This is your favorite meal in Ukraine.
That's the go-to.
It's like a poutine here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's our poutine.
Man, you're a great human being.
Thank you.
I'm like very happy you accept to come here. You have an amazing story. I mean, fascinating.
Yeah.
The way you decide to go with that, you know, all the challenge you have in your life.
Yeah.
Now it's your 8th year. I think the 7th, 8th year, it's the most important because in general, comedian quit.
I'm already seeing that. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
They continue and you will not give up.
No.
So listen, if you continue, you're gonna see result. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's rare people, you know, that like, don't give up, buddy. But I tell you, you're a great guy. You're funny. Don't give up, and you're made sure. You know, you just arrived from your the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now you're back, and it's still like here. I'm sure soon I'm gonna see you on stage. Wow.
Yeah.
Funny stuff about.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, appreciate it.
No. Thank you so much to came to my small podcast.
This was really fun.
With a beautiful superstar. Let's go eat beans.
Let's do it.
And I'm gonna. If it's not good, we're gonna order a pizza on the side.
Let's do some borscht. Let's do it.
Merci beaucoup, Barney.